In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Father, I pray that your truth would reign true here today in each and every heart. Father, may we be so aware of your presence this morning, and may we listen closely to what you have to say to each and every one of us. Lord, have your way now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So, if you're a dad here this morning, raise your hand. Okay? I'm going to have some stuff for y'all this morning. But that's not to say that the rest of you can't listen, okay? As I was just sitting here praying and thinking, you know, this message is geared towards fathers, but it's also geared towards the men, okay? Because just because you may not have a biological child, you can still be a dad to someone. You can still be a father to someone. As I was thinking about my life, and I had a great dad. My dad was wonderful. I was thinking about him this morning, but I've also got a great stepdad. I also have a great father-in-law. I have a lot of great men in my life, men here at the church that I look up to and respect very much. And so, just because you don't have a biological child doesn't mean that you can't be a dad or a father figure to someone. Because a lot of people, they may not have had a great man in their life, a great dad or great grandfather or someone in their life. And so men, we need to step up, okay? Not only for our children, but maybe children here at church, children in the community that may not have a good dad or a father figure to look up to. The importance of you being here and being a believer this morning, believe it or not, can affect generations. The life that you're living now can have effect on generations to come. Exodus 20 verse 6 says, "But showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands." We're going to reiterate that in a minute in Deuteronomy. But to 1,000 generations that God can show love to those who love Him and keep His commands. I always read the stats for Father's Day and Mother's Day, and I found something different this year that I've never seen before. Mother's Day is the third highest church service attendance, only after Easter and Christmas. Did y'all know that? That it's the third highest attendance just after Easter and Christmas. Guess where Father's Day ranks? The lowest. It's even below Memorial Day, Labor Day, and 4th of July for attendance. I could not believe that. You know, yeah, I would think 4th of July, you know, that would probably be the lowest. But Father's Day is the lowest attendance in church service. Now, either the churches are not being effective in affirmation to the fathers, or Christian fathers don't value their families and people being here with them, or they don't show that. Somewhere along the way, someone's dropping the ball in this. And, you know, of course, you can take into things like vacation and things like that, summertime, the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day. But there's something going on that families don't see and feel the importance of being at church with their dads. But honestly, this year for Mother's Day, when we counted all the mothers up, we figured we needed about 25 Mother's Day gifts. For Father's Day, we thought 15, and that's probably going to be a few extras. Why? Because dads are dropping the ball. Men are dropping the ball. They don't come to church. They don't lead their families the way that they should. These blow my mind, okay? If a child becomes a Christian, there's only a 3.5% probability that everyone else in his household will follow. 3.5 if a child becomes a Christian. If the mother becomes a Christian, there's only a 17% probability that the rest of the household will follow. But if the father follows the Lord, do you know what the probability is that his whole household will follow? 93%. That's amazing to me. 93% if the dad becomes a Christian, that the household will follow. Whereas the mom, 17%. The impact that we can have on our families is enormous. Men, dads. But how many of us are dropping the ball and we really don't take our walk with God serious? Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, if you want to open up your Bibles to there. We're going to float around Deuteronomy 7 and Deuteronomy 6 mainly this morning. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commands." There it is again. We read that in Exodus 20. Basically the same verse that God is faithful to those who are faithful to Him. But those who hate Him, He will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate Him. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws that I give you today. If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep His covenant of love with you as He swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruits of your womb, the crops of your land, your grain, new wine and oil, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks and the land that He swore to your forefathers to give you. He will bless you more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, nor any of your livestock without young. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but He will inflict them on all who hate you. You must destroy all the people the Lord your God gives over to you. Do not look on them with pity, and do not serve their gods, for they will be a snare to you." I wanted to read that last verse because I thought, well, should I read that or not? Destroy those that God lays over. But you know what I thought of with that? Honestly, the enemies come into many of our homes. And we have, as fathers and dads, have become wimps. And we've given over to let the kids play their video games. Let the kids watch this TV program. All the kids do it. All the, you know, and the enemy has come into our homes. And what he's saying there is destroy. Destroy the enemy because it can become a snare to you. And fathers, I think it's time that some of us go home and maybe get out the baseball bat and the garbage can and destroy some stuff in our house that's become a snare to our children, to our families, to our lives, where Satan is creeping into our homes and grabbing hold of us. You guys might say, "That's extreme, Pete. What are you talking about? That's extreme." When you look at the statistics of kids and teenagers turning away from the Lord, that's what's extreme. And what really needs to be extreme is us living for God and our children seeing it in our lives and knowing the importance of following the Lord, following His commands, and being here at church. Because if we're not here, well, it's not important to our kids. If it's not important enough for us to come, then why would our kids... You know how many years we ran church buses and moms and dads sending their kids on Wednesday nights, sending their kids even on Sundays, we used to do it sometimes, because they never came themselves. "Well, you need to learn this, kids." But they said, I remember one family, I seen them one time carrying in drinks in movies because the kids were going to be at the out of the house going to church, so they took it for a movie night. And I guess that was their common thing, send the kids to church and we're going to watch movies and have some quiet time by ourselves. So you know what? As a little kid growing up, they're going to say, well, Mom and Dad stay home and watch movies. When I get big, that's what I can do. Right? Not go to church. We've dropped the ball, man, in leading our families. And it's time that we begin to examine this Word and look at the Word and follow what it says wholeheartedly and get those snares out of our lives and out of our homes so that our children see it and they see the real Jesus in us. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, chapter 6, verse 1, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you and your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. It's teaching our children. It's blessing our children so that they learn to fear God the way that we should be fearing God. And then there's blessings that follow. We just read that in chapter 7. When you follow the Lord, there's blessings. So that you may enjoy a long life. Blessings. Verse 3. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God of your fathers promised you. Be careful to obey. How many of us are living our life being careful to obey the Word of God each and every day? How many of us are being careful to follow and have that relationship with our Father? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. You know, I don't know how everybody else is. I really don't. I don't know. But I wonder sometimes how many people go day after day not even thinking about God. Not praying, not reading their Bibles. We get busy in life. We got work. We got things we got to be at. And we just get going and we forget. Y'all, when you love somebody with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and you know, my wife, I still think about her every day. Because that's how much I love her. If I'm at work, I'm wishing I was home. Because I love my wife that much. Y'all, my love for my Father in heaven should be even greater than my love for my wife or my dad or you. And many of us who claim to be Christians, we can go day after day. Oh, and we don't even think about Him. We don't even think about the relationship. We don't even pray and ask for guidance. We don't even think, well, I shouldn't do that or I should do this. We just live and just go on. And the relationship isn't there. But if the relationship is there, then we should love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. That's every part of our being. Verse 6 says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've failed in that at different times in my life. Sometimes in my life, it's like we've gathered together for prayer and we've done Bible studies and someone's sick and we stop and we pray right then for them. And other times in my life, we haven't. I'm not the best example. I'm just going to be honest with you. But y'all, Jesus Christ needs to be a reality in our homes. In the mornings, at noon, when we sit down, when we eat, is Jesus Christ a part of your life? Is He an essential part of your life that your children see how you depend upon your Father, how you seek your Father, how you want to know your Father, how you listen for your Father's voice? Do your children see that? When my kids were little, I remember we used to, we had these things called cassette tapes, okay? Not 8-tracks. We had cassette tapes. And they were children Bible songs. And I remember when we would, on Saturday nights, we'd always go out to Crystal's grandpa and grandma's, and all the way out there, I'd play those cassette tapes with the little Bible songs and all that. Why? I didn't enjoy them. But I wanted my kids to hear that. I wanted them to learn those songs. I wanted Jesus to be real in their heart. And that's what we listened to all the time in the car when they were little. Y'all, is Jesus part of your life, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Dads, fathers, men, is Jesus real? Is He part of your daily life? Is He always there with you? And do you recognize that? Verse 8 says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them down on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You guys might, I mean, maybe I'm kind of extreme, but I pray about everything. And you know, years ago when we built our pool, you know what we did? We had our brothers and sister-in-laws and everybody come over and we got anointing oil. And we dumped it in the pool, and everybody gathered around the pool, and we prayed over the pool. You guys might say, Pete, you're weird. That's crazy. But I not only prayed for protection for everybody that swam there, but I prayed that everybody that touched that water would get saved, would come to know the Lord. That's reality to me, and I believe that with all my heart. We've never had any serious injuries there. Thank you, Jesus. It's God's hand and it's a reality. And I want my kids to see that. And I want my kids to know that I trust God. When the Lord your God brings you into the land, He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Y'all, to me, we are such a blessed nation today. Many people have forgot. Because we're so full and we're so satisfied on what the world has to offer that we've left no room for God. I like to eat, okay? And I struggle with that. And I've been bouncing around now. I lost almost 20 pounds and now I'm back up and I've been struggling and I've been fighting and I've been preaching to myself, self-control, self-control. But I like to eat. But you know what? You can put my favorite food in front of me and I've just ate a big meal. I really am not hungry for it. I might take a bite just to taste it, but I really don't feast on it. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? And see, sometimes that's the way we are with God. We're so filled up by the world and our fleshly pleasures and our fleshly desires and what we want that we may come to church and have a little nibble and a little bite. But we're really not hungry because we're already satisfied with our life, with the way that we're living. I hadn't looked it up in a long time, but you look at our country and 30, 40 years ago, people didn't take vacations. And if they went on a vacation, it might be a once in a lifetime thing to go to the beach. Or once every 10 or 20 years to have a vacation. Now, it's like people are taking 2 and 3 vacations a year. I like going on vacation. We went to the Buffalo River Friday. I don't know if that's called a vacation, but It felt like it. It was nice and just floated the river and had fun and enjoyed the day with my family, you know. And we're blessed and we go and we do. And but when I was little growing up, we didn't do all that. And I look at our world and I look at the way that we're going and we have so many things to satisfy us. We're not too far off from the house is filled with all kinds of good things and the wells and the cities and the olive groves and all this hard work that we're satisfied with that and we forgot about God. Verse 13 says, fear the Lord your God, serve Him only and take your oaths in the name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and His anger will burn against you, and He will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep His commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees He has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you and you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. Y'all, sometimes it's easy to look around at the other gods. You guys might say, well, what do you mean, Pete, the other gods? You know, your friends at work that are so into sports, your friends at work that are into hot rods and building cars, and your friends at work that are into partying and drinking, and your friends at work that are into, you name it. All those things can become a god. Are we careful to not get taken over by that? For that to not become our desire and what meets our needs and what satisfies us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12 says, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into His kingdom and glory. Dads, this morning I'm asking you, are you witnesses to your children of how to live holy, righteous, and blameless? I mean, seriously, are we witnesses to that? Do our children see Jesus in our life? Men who don't have children here today, do your co-workers, do your family members see Jesus real in your life? It says, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you. And then He says how we dealt with you as a father deals with his children. And so, dads, it says, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. I didn't read all the normal verses for Father's Day today, but I want to ask you, dads, are you encouraging your children? I'm not the perfect dad, and I've blown it a lot of times. Sometimes I've blown it really bad. But in my life and in leading my family, I always really tried to make my children think when they've messed up. And not coming down on them in harsh punishment. They needed it sometimes and they did get it sometimes. But in that punishment, there was always an element, I hope, of making them think that to do right, not just because of punishment, but do right because this is what pleases God. I don't know if I said that right or not. Y'all get what I'm saying? That I've wanted my children to want to do right. Not just because they were getting a spanking if they did wrong, but I wanted them to want to do right and encourage them. Do they need spankings? Yes. Did my dad spank me? Yes. I think I think that kind of punishment is good when it's done right and it's done in love. And then it comes with encouragement and showing them that you can have victory, that you can live right. And setting an example, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. How will we be able to teach our children to live lives worthy of pleasing God if we're not doing it ourselves? How can we teach our co-workers to live lives worthy of pleasing God when we're not doing it ourselves? Our family, our friends, everybody in here, men, women, children. Are we living lives worthy of pleasing God so that the lost may see Jesus Christ in our lives? Dads, this morning, can we make the changes necessary to encourage our children and discipline our children, all while showing them to love Jesus and to have that relationship with Him? I told Samantha that this would be a quick sermon. And we're reading the last verses right now. But dads, I want to encourage in Joshua 24, 14 and 15, it says, "Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, and then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." When I think of serving the Lord, me and my household serving the Lord, I think of being in it. And it being reality and it being life. If you're serving in the military, you don't just show up on Sunday. You just don't show up every once in a while and see your commanding officer. No, you're in it, right? It's your life. And you have a commander in charge of you that's telling you what to do with your day-to-day life. Brennan joined the Marines and his dad was telling me that he can't even write letters. But like one time or two times he'll get a break that he can call home through basic and the restrictions and everything. Why? Because he's in the military now. And he's all in and he's serving. No longer mom and dad have control. He's got a commanding officer that's in control now because that's what he signed up for. Y'all, with us, is the Lord Jesus Christ really our commanding officer? Is He really who we've laid our life down for and said, "Father, I'm going to serve You. I'm going to serve You. And as for me and my household, we will serve You." But I notice here that He says, "But if this seems undesirable for some of you." You know, maybe this morning you're sitting here and saying, "Pete, all this that you're saying sounds really undesirable. And I want to pray for you. Because it's the greatest thing that I ever did was turning my life over to Jesus Christ. It far outweighed the partying, the drinking, the smoking, the everything else. Jesus Christ surpasses that." And we read all the promises and benefits to those who faithfully follow His commands, His laws, His decrees, how we will be blessed. And not just us, but the generations to come. The impact that you can make starting today on grandchildren and great-grandchildren that you'll never know until they get to heaven someday. But you can be the point that changes everything by following the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Amanda, will you go get them? I am so thankful for all the fathers that are here. And I know we got a few fathers out today that's on vacation and ball tournaments and different things going on. But we do want to honor you dads for being here. And I hope I wasn't too hard on you. And I hope that you will take away from this some encouragement. of how your family looks up to you and how you can impact your family. And I hope that you will make the commitment today, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and that you'll truly begin to do that. If you've blown it, get the kids together, get your wife, get your family together, and tell them I've blown it, and ask for forgiveness. Sometimes that's the greatest thing you can do, is ask your family to forgive you for where you've messed up, where you've fallen short. Are they coming, Amanda? If all the dads will stand up, if you guys will start to take these to all the dads. They're heavy, so be careful. You can take them to your dads first, and then if there's any other dads standing, thank you. We got some dads still standing over here, so we need some more helpers. Did we get all the dads? Did we get all the dads? All right. Men, let's be heroes to our families. Let's show them how to truly live a life worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ. Let's not be let our children be another statistic of falling away, but let's teach them how to live for Jesus. Let them see it in your life. I thank you. I'm so thankful for all the men that are here and the men that we have at this church. And you guys enjoy your families this afternoon. And if your dad's not here, give him a call. And if your dad's gone on, then just thank the Lord for the dad that he was. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive all of us men when we've fallen short, when we haven't been the example that we should be. And Father, I pray that you really spoke to each and every one of us, that we would truly, truly take to heart the message today, and that you would be always in our thoughts, that we would truly love you with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, that you would be welcomed in our home, at dinner, when we wake up in the morning, that you would truly be a part of our life, and that our children would see that. Father, I pray that each and every one of us here would make the commitment, as for me and my house, we will follow you. Give us strength. Give us encouragement. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.